What if everything you believed about happiness was backward? Most of us operate under a simple assumption: achieve success first, then happiness will follow. Get the promotion, find the relationship, reach the milestone, and joy will be waiting on the other side. Yet research tells a different story. Studies tracking lottery winners and newly tenured professors reveal a troubling pattern. Major life victories create only brief happiness spikes before people return to their emotional baseline. Harvard students who were ecstatic about acceptance letters often find themselves stressed and miserable once enrolled. The truth inverts our entire approach. Happiness doesn't follow success, it precedes it. When we elevate our baseline happiness, even slightly, we become more creative, productive, and engaged. We build stronger relationships, develop resilience, and our well-being becomes contagious, rippling outward through our communities. This reframes happiness from indulgence to strategic necessity, from luxury to fuel. But here's the paradox: pursuing happiness directly often backfires. Research shows that people who obsess over happiness end up less happy. The solution lies in pursuing happiness indirectly through its core elements, like viewing sunlight through a prism rather than staring directly at the sun. True happiness isn't a single emotion, but what can be called whole being, a holistic state encompassing five interconnected dimensions captured in the acronym SPIRE. Spiritual well-being means living mindfully and purposefully, connecting to something larger through meditation, nature, or meaningful work. Physical well-being encompasses sleep, nutrition, and recovery, the foundation of sustained energy. Intellectual well-being involves curiosity and engaging with new ideas. Relational well-being focuses on nurturing deep connections, from intimate partnerships to community. Emotional well-being requires honoring all feelings rather than suppressing them. These elements form an interconnected web where strengthening one reinforces the others. Mindfulness improves physical energy. Intellectual growth deepens relationships. Research shows happiness levels are malleable, not fixed. A daily 5-minute meditation might seem insignificant, but over months, it substantially improves emotional regulation and stress management. The science of happiness won't eliminate suffering, but it reduces second-level suffering, the additional pain from rejecting difficulties or failing to appreciate what we have. Things don't happen for the best, but we can make the best of what happens. Spiritual well-being requires finding meaning in daily activities and being fully present. Research shows people view work in three ways: as a job, for money; a career, for advancement; or a calling, as meaningful. Those who see their work as a calling report greater satisfaction, regardless of profession. Janitors and hairdressers experience this just as doctors can. The shift happens through reframing. Create a calling description instead of a job description. Preparing a lecture becomes engaging with ideas to help others flourish. Washing dishes becomes creating space for family connection. Mindfulness meditation, present moment awareness without judgment, offers another pathway. 8 weeks of practice improves mood, reduces anxiety, and physically alters brain structure. Practicing twice weekly yields the same benefits as daily practice, because mindfulness extends beyond formal sitting. By choosing presence in ordinary moments, we transform the mundane into the sacred. Mind and body form one inseparable system. The facial feedback hypothesis shows that simply smiling or frowning generates corresponding feelings. This unity matters profoundly for managing stress, which has reached pandemic levels. Yet stress itself isn't the enemy. Like weight training that breaks down muscles, stress triggers growth when paired with adequate recovery. Recovery operates at three levels. Micro-recovery means 15-minute breaks every 2 hours or 30 seconds of deep breathing. Mid-level recovery includes full days off and 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Macro recovery involves extended breaks, camping trips, reading retreats, or simply doing nothing for days or weeks. Physical activity proves crucial for well-being, yet disappears first during busy periods. Ironically, exercise becomes most vital during stressful times. Just 30 minutes of aerobic activity 3 times weekly matches psychiatric medication's effect on depression. Cambridge research shows people who stand every 20 to 30 minutes are measurably happier. The key is the 5-minute takeoff, committing to just 5 minutes of activity, which typically leads to continuation because motivation follows action, not vice versa. Living solely for physical needs creates unhappiness. The challenge is using our intellect to enhance well-being. Education often stifles natural curiosity, but it never disappears. It simply lies dormant. Everyone is curious about something. The key is discovering what and how. Questions act like flashlights, illuminating specific areas while leaving others dark. Instead of only examining problems, ask what's working well. While speed reading processes information efficiently, slow reading, deeply engaging with texts, offers profound benefits. Deep learning provides joy, allowing us to luxuriate in brilliant minds while developing transferable cognitive skills. To cultivate intellectual well-being, embrace failure. Parents who never let their baby fall prevent walking. Avoiding failure prevents growth. Thomas Edison didn't fail. He found 10,000 ways that won't work. Overcoming perfectionism requires self-compassion and a growth mindset. Intellectual well-being isn't about finding final answers, but embracing the process of questioning and discovery. Harvard's nearly century-long study reveals that quality relationships, not money or success, best predict happiness and physical health. Connection depth matters more than relationship type, whether with partners, friends, family, or colleagues. Yet, despite claiming relationships as priorities, we chronically underinvest in them. Giving powerfully strengthens bonds. While spending on ourselves creates temporary happiness spikes, spending on others produces lasting well-being. However, balance proves crucial. The Dalai Lama emphasizes that caring based solely on sacrifice doesn't last. It must also nourish you. Instead of choosing between selfish and selfless, embrace selflessness, caring for both yourself and others. Conflicts present growth opportunities. All successful relationships eventually face fundamental value clashes. When gridlocked, couples can break up, stay together emotionally disconnected, or grow through struggle. Growth requires holding on to yourself while holding on to the relationship, striving to know and be known despite discomfort. This vulnerability creates true intimacy. Painful emotions aren't just natural, they're necessary signs of being alive. Permission to be human means allowing yourself to feel all emotions, including painful ones. When we reject feelings, they intensify. When we accept them, they pass more quickly. Research confirms that people who fully experience emotions recover better than those suppressing them. Here's the paradox. Blocking painful emotions also obstructs pleasurable ones, since all feelings flow through the same pipeline. Active acceptance means embracing emotions while choosing appropriate responses. Learning to observe emotions helps separate us from them, shifting from "I am sad" to "I have sadness." Gratitude proves particularly powerful. Visualize what you're grateful for rather than going on autopilot. Celebrate small wins. Research shows reflecting on daily progress boosts productivity and satisfaction. Try writing a gratitude letter expressing your appreciation to someone and ideally reading it to them. During a difficult period, the author's Barbara Avi shared how he'd once pursued flying lessons, convinced that soaring through clouds would fill an inner emptiness. After obtaining his license, he discovered true fulfillment came from the little things that are right here: Sunday pancakes with his children, classical music while cleaning his shop, Mediterranean sunsets, and meaningful conversations with clients. You are whole, a spiritual being capable of purpose, a physical being designed to move, an intellectual being wired for curiosity, a relational being with capacity to love, and an emotional being capable of experiencing the full spectrum. Small, consistent actions create significant positive changes. Your happiness is contagious, spreading through social networks up to 3 degrees of separation. The question isn't whether you can become happier, it's whether you'll choose to begin today.